Hey everybody, good afternoon. Hello from Wilmington. Appreciate everyone joining today's press call hosted by the Biden-Harris campaign to talk about Donald Trump's choice of J.D. Vance as his new running mate. This is T.J. Ducklow from the campaign's communications team. Glad folks could make it here on short notice. So this call will be on the record, as you saw in the advisory, embargoed until the end of the call. With me, I am honored to have representing the campaign our chair, Jen O'Malley-Dillon. Who will tell you why Trump's choice today has cemented this ticket as the most extreme and out-of-touch presidential ticket in American history? It would cause real harm to the American people if elected. We're also joined by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is, of course, a member of the campaign's National Advisory Board and one of the foremost champions of working people and protecting consumers in the Senate and in the country, for that matter. She'll talk more about how the Trump-Vance agenda would be a disaster for the middle class and only benefit the super rich. Also with us is Mini Timaraju, the president and CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All and a tireless fighter for reproductive freedom and a critical partner of President Biden and Vice President Harris. And finally, Dr. Lauren Beam, the executive director of Ohio Physicians for Reproductive Rights. Her work was instrumental in passing Issue One, the ballot initiative that successfully restored reproductive freedom in Ohio this past November, something J.D. Vance called, quote, a gut punch. After you will hear from each of them, we'll have time for a few questions. So with that, I will hand it over to Jen.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks, everyone. Good to be here with you today. And it's an honor to be on this call with my other speakers here. So let me just start by echoing what President Biden said last night from the Oval. The choice we make in this election will certainly shape the future of America, if not the world, for decades to come. And we know how high the stakes are. And as you heard him say, there's no doubt that we have deeply felt and strong disagreements in this country and certainly in this election. But the path forward is a path that is clearly two competing visions and campaigns that can certainly and must be resolved peacefully through debate and disagreement. That's an important part of our process here in America, comparing and contrasting our ideas and the issues that the American people care about, and ultimately at the ballot box this November. So let me turn to the news of J.D. Vance joining the race today. I would say certainly there's nowhere where there's a greater more stark contrast between these two competing visions than with this pick as vice president for Donald Trump's ticket. Clearly, Vance won Trump's sweepstakes by passing his MAGA litmus test with flying colors. Trump picked J.D. Vance as his running mate because he will do what Mike Pence wouldn't on January 6th, bend over backwards to enable Trump and his extreme MAGA agenda, even if it means breaking the law and certainly no matter the harm to the American people. He's wholeheartedly endorsed Trump's, and I guess we'd say Trump's and Vance's Project 2025 agenda, saying it is full of good ideas. He's proudly anti-choice and wants to take women back decades. He supports a nationwide ban on abortion, criticizes exceptions for rape and incest survivors, saying two wrongs don't make a right and calling those circumstances inconvenient. He's railed against the Affordable Care Act and its protections for millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions, literally publishing an op-ed in the New York Times opposing it. And he's called Social Security and Medicare the biggest roadblocks to any kind of real fiscal sanity. This list could go on and on, but the bottom line is that Trump and now Vance's Project 2025 would hurt hardworking Americans. And we've seen these actions and ideas in action before, and the American people cannot afford another 4 years. So, with Trump and Vance now entering the general election, they're facing off against the Biden-Harris ticket, and I will certainly take that matchup any day of the week and twice on Sunday, because while Trump and Vance have an agenda focused on themselves and their wealthy donor friends, President Biden and Vice President Harris are fighting for the American people. They're building the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. They're focused on lowering costs, defending reproductive freedoms, and making sure that everyone has a chance to live out the American dream. So, with Trump's ticket set, it's more clear than ever that our rights, Our freedoms and our democracy are on the line this November. Our campaign will focus on that day in and day out, and the contrast that we see as we look at President Biden's vision for America, one where we save our democracy, protect our rights and freedoms, and create opportunity for everyone. And with that contrast front and center, when voters head to the polls this fall and to vote early, they're going to choose President Biden, Vice President Harris over Trump and Vance. We are confident of that, and we're building a campaign to ensure it. So, with that, it is my honor to hand the call over to my home state Senator, Senator Warren.
Thank you, Jan. Trump's VP pick is great news for the wealthiest Americans and lousy news for everyone else. Billionaires on Wall Street and Silicon Valley are cheering, but there is no joy for working people. Vance thinks seniors should get by with less. Trump proposed gutting Social Security and Medicare in every single one of his budgets. Vance calls Social Security and Medicare, quote, the biggest roadblocks to any kind of real physical sanity. With Trump Vance, Social Security and Medicare cuts will bear down on seniors like an avalanche. Vance thinks sick people should pay more. Trump is promising to repeal the Affordable Care Act and rip healthcare away from millions of hardworking Americans. Vance has already published an op-ed in the New York Times opposing the ACA. With Trump Vance, millions will face losing access to health insurance. Vance thinks Americans should just live with crumbling infrastructure. Trump spent 4 years promising it was infrastructure week and delivering nothing. Vance called the legislation that invested billions into America's roads, bridges, and transit and created thousands of good-paying union jobs a quote, huge, huge mistake. Vance thinks everyone should get by with less except the billionaires. Trump's only major legislative achievement was a $2 trillion tax cut, mostly soaked up by millionaires, billionaires, and giant corporations. Now, Vance is backing Trump as he proposes another billionaire tax break that is worth $3.5 million apiece every year, $3.5 million a year for every billionaire, while it raises taxes on most middle-class families. Elections are all about who the government works for. Joe Biden is fighting to make government work better for all Americans. Trump and Vance support cuts to Social Security, Medicare, health insurance, and money that goes into roads and bridges, all to pay for a $3.5 million annual tax cut for billionaires. Trump and Vance can have the billionaire vote. Joe Biden is fighting for everyone else. And with that, I will turn it over to my very good friend, Mini Tiramadu. Mini?
Thank you, Senator. As everyone said already, we're here because Donald Trump did what we suspected. He chose J.D. Vance, an extreme anti-abortion politician who's just as committed to banning abortion nationwide as Donald Trump himself. And today's choice guarantees that a Trump-Vance administration will jeopardize reproductive freedom in all 50 states. This isn't an abstract idea. We know they have no plans to stop at overturning Roe. And how do we know? Just look at J.D. Vance's record. He's on the record supporting a nationwide abortion ban and has an A-plus rating from the extremist Susan B. Anthony list. He voted against legislation to protect IVF. He criticizes exceptions for rape and incest survivors and has actually said two wrongs don't make a right and called those circumstances inconvenient. And as Dr. Bean will detail, he supported anti-democratic efforts to prevent Ohio voters from protecting their fundamental rights to protect reproductive health care. And it's unfortunately all too unsurprising. We're witnessing the devastating effects of Trump's abortion bans, women's lives on the line, doctors threatened with jail time, But Vance is standing steadfastly by Trump, even when he calls the chaos and cruelty playing out in the states across the country, quote, a beautiful thing to watch. But it doesn't stop there. Trump and his allies have written the blueprint, Project 2025, for a Trump-Vance administration to ban abortion in all 50 states without the help of Congress. One of their plans includes completely banning medication abortion, which again requires no assistance from Congress or the courts, meaning women in every single state, even where abortion remains legal, will no longer have access to this safe and evidence-based medication. Trump even admits he's, quote, looking at banning contraceptives. That means Plan B, and that even means forms of birth control are on the chopping block. So when Donald Trump and JD Vance celebrate overturning Roe, they're celebrating every single cruel abortion ban across the country, many of which have no exceptions for rape or incest. And at the end of the day, we always knew Trump would pick someone just as committed to taking away reproductive freedom. But now that it's official, it couldn't be more clear. Donald Trump and JD Vance would further roll back our rights to make our own health care decisions. And President Biden and Vice President Harris are the only candidates who will protect a woman's right to choose. Here's the bad news for Trump and Vance. The majority of Americans overwhelmingly reject their anti-reproductive freedom agenda. In election after election after election, including Ohio, voters showed up and sent a resounding message. Americans will not stand by as MAGA Republicans threaten their rights and their freedoms, and November will be no different. So these are the stakes in 2024. While Donald Trump and Vance are running to ban abortion in all 50 states, President Biden and Vice President Harris are unrelenting in their mission to make sure women in America can make their own healthcare decisions. That is what's going to be on the ballot this November, and we're going to continue to make sure that every single voter knows it. With that, I want to introduce Dr. Bean.
Thank you so much, Minnie. Thank you all for joining us. It is an honor to be here with Jen, Minnie, and Senator Warren today to welcome JD Vance, a politician I am all too familiar with, to the presidential race. As a healthcare provider, I have a lot at stake in this election. Not only is reproductive freedom on the line, Donald Trump's and now JD Vance's Project 2025 agenda makes it clear that they want to jail doctors like me for providing the care our patients need. I don't just think that JD Vance is a threat to reproductive health care and our rights and freedoms. I know it. I'm the co-founder and executive director of Ohio Physicians for Reproductive Rights and leader of Protect Choice Ohio, the grassroots coalition that helped place issue one on the ballot in 2023. I started Ohio Physicians for Reproductive Rights after I saw the medical crisis unfold in our state after Donald Trump overturned Roe and unleashed an extreme abortion ban in my home state. You all may remember reports of a 10-year-old Ohioan girl who, after being raped, was forced to leave our state to get the abortion care she needed. I knew I wasn't the only Ohioan who was horrified by MAGA Republicans' anti-reproductive freedom agenda. So we organized, mobilized, and won, passing a constitutional amendment to protect abortion and restore reproductive rights. JD Vance called our victory, quote, a gut punch, end quote. A 10-year-old rape victim couldn't receive an abortion in her state, but somehow the gut punch was us voting to restore access to reproductive health care. Well, that gut punch proved to America that voters will not stand by as MAGA Republicans threaten our rights and freedoms. And it proved that slashing reproductive health care like Trump's Project 2025 agenda would do is a losing agenda in red states and blue states alike. And today, as JD Vance joins the MAGA Republican ticket, here's another thing that is critically important to remember. If it had been up to JD Vance, issue one would have never passed in Ohio. And importantly, if it is up to JD Vance, he will rip away all of this progress because he and Donald Trump will ban abortion nationwide if given the chance. When he tried to block the will of Ohio voters by supporting an effort to make it harder to change Ohio's constitution, he claimed he was protecting voters from, quote, out-of-state interests. Well, JD, this Ohio doctor and the millions of Ohio residents who you claim to represent in the U.S. Senate sent you a loud and clear message about how we feel about your anti-abortion agenda. And in November, millions of Americans across the country are going to join us. Thank you very much, and I will hand it back over to TJ.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bean, and to all of our speakers. We have time for a few questions. If folks want to use the hand raising function there, let me give folks a few minutes to do that, and then we'll take a few. Okay, let's go to Shauna from CBS.
Hey, guys. So it seems like abortion is going to be one of the main topics that you guys hit Vance on, and you guys mentioned issue one passing in Ohio. But then just a few months later, you had Bernie Moreno, a Trump-backed Senate candidate, winning that primary. He'll be going up against Sherrod Brown. So I'm just wondering how you plan to appeal to those voters in Ohio particularly.
Well, look, I think as you've seen from the very beginning of this campaign, when President Biden announced his candidacy, you know, protecting freedom and particularly reproductive freedom has been front and center. And I think if you look at election results, you know, certainly in Ohio, but also across the country as we're running a national race here, the American people do not like it when you tell them that they have less freedoms than they used to. And I think for a lot of voters looking ahead at a country where, you know, your children or your grandchildren are going to have less freedoms, less rights, as you did, and when you're growing up, I think that is fundamentally at stake and top of mind as we head to November. And so, you know, I think, you know, Dr. Bean sort of laid out some of the dynamics in Ohio, but I think as we look across the country and you know, and some of the states and some of the voters who are going to decide this election, I think it truly comes down to President Biden being and Vice President Harris being the ticket that is fighting to expand freedom, to live in a country where we have more, and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance wanting to live in a country where people have less freedom. And I think we feel good about that contrast. Okay, let's go to Betsy Klein from CNN.
Ah, thank you. Hi.
Hello.
Thanks. Can you share the perspective from Vice President Harris, how she feels about debating Senator Vance and how we can expect her going forward to draw contrast with him?
Sure. Vice President Harris is prepared to debate J.D. Vance. We have accepted the proposal from CBS News, I think as folks are aware, to participate in that debate. And we feel very good. Vice President Harris, as folks know, has been on the trail, crisscrossing the country, fighting for the core issues that are at stake in this election, including reproductive freedom, including, you know, protecting our communities and our schools from gun violence, including some of the economic contrast that Senator Warren was laying out, you know, fighting for an economy that is built from the bottom up and the middle out, not the top down like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump would like to see done in this country. And so, you know, Vice President Harris has not only been making that case, but making it in an incredibly compelling way. And we expect that she will do the same if J.D. Vance is willing to debate her. But I can tell you right now today that the vice president is fully prepared to take him on. And Jen or Senator Warner, others, I'm not sure if there's anything to add on your end to that as well.
Yeah, so it's Jen. Yeah, I would just reinforce that. I mean, look, I think, you know, we laid this out, but in particular, you know, if you look at Project 2025, it is clear across all the major issues that we know the American people care about, are worried about the economy, Social Security and Medicare, freedoms, as TJ was laying out, you know, how this country can work better for people in their lives, lowering costs. And on every issue, I think that there is clear contrast and a vision that is an important one that the vice president has been out there every day making, and both doing that on the road, but we'll be able to do that on the debate as well. And I think fundamentally, you know, to this pick, this is more of the same. This is someone that is going to be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump and the extreme issues that we know the American people have voted against before, and a vision in the president and the vice president that they voted for. And I think that contrast has become easier with this choice as we continue to be able to lay that out. And the vice president will be able to do that, whether she's out talking to voters on the stump or on the debate stage.
Add to that is the VP will take it to J.D. Vance. I've known her for nearly 15 years. While she's been in every kind of fight on behalf of working families, and she is strong. She knows what she's talking about, and she doesn't give an inch. And she has the better end of the argument. When Kamala stands up to argue, she will be arguing in favor of protecting Social Security and Medicare. She will be arguing in favor of protecting access to health insurance. She will be arguing in favor of making sure that we have infrastructure and strong unions. She will be arguing in favor of raising taxes for billionaires and giving real relief to middle-class families. So the debate is going to have two parts to it. It's how strong our vice president is and how good her economic issues are. I'm looking forward to this debate.
Thanks, Senator. Thanks, Jen. Let's go to Jen Rubin at the Washington Post.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing this. The day after the president spoke to the nation about bringing down the level of rhetoric and of violence, his challenger has now picked someone who called the shooting and not an isolated incident, and who has excused the January 6th protesters. What do you take that in terms of what you guys are going to expect? And do you think that J.D. Vance is part of the problem in raising the temperature and creating an atmosphere of violence?
Well, look, you know, stopping political violence was a central motivation for this president, both in his decision to run in 2020, but also to run again in 2024. And he has been clear and forceful that we never settle our differences through violence. We settle them at the ballot box. He reinforced his longstanding commitment to denouncing political violence last night in the as folks have mentioned. And whether it was the horrific attack on Donald Trump this weekend, whether it was the unjustifiable attack on Paul Pelosi, the assault on our nation's capital on January 6th, or some of the rhetoric that we are seeing from MAGA Republicans across the country, that is not who we are. And the president will continue to deliver the message that Americans should come together and they should unite and they should condemn this kind of language and these kind of horrific attacks. And anyone, especially elected officials, you know, with national platforms, politicizing this strategy, spreading disinformation, seeking to divide Americans, that is absolutely unacceptable, and it's an abdication of leadership. Okay, Sun Min, if you want to go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for holding the call. A couple of questions for Jen if she's still on. Can you talk a little bit about how the president is recalibrating his rhetoric and messaging, if at all, once he's out and talking and giving speeches and campaigning this week? And also, just to put a finer point on the previous question, what was the campaign's reaction to JD Vance saying that rhetoric, referring to President Biden, led directly to President Trump's attempted assassination?
Okay, so yeah, I'll jump in. So first of all, the president has been out there is out doing maybe even actually as we speak an interview with Lester Holt, and then we'll be traveling to Las Vegas tomorrow and Wednesday. He's going to be speaking to NAACP. He's going to be speaking to UNIDOS and doing a number of local stops. And look, I think the president laid out a roadmap for the whole country last night. And I think that's no different than what he's been saying and driving to from the start. As TJ said, he got into this race in, first of all, in 2019 because of the violence that we were seeing in the country. And I think what you're going to hear from him is really making a very clear contrast about his optimistic vision for this country and for the future. He's going to continue to talk about what's at stake in this election. He's going to talk about the work that he and Vice President Harris and senators like Senator Warren have done, governors across our country, but how there's more work to be done. And I think you heard that very clearly in Detroit. I think you're going to hear more of that, where the president is talking about his vision. He's talking about the first 100 days of his second term and the work ahead of us. And he's doing that in contrast to this very, I would say, negative idea of this country and this Trump Project 2025, which, the American people have responded to. And certainly sometimes in campaigns you talk about things and they don't break through. But something like Project 2025 has really hit a nerve with the American people, whether you're someone that's very politically active or you're someone that is not as engaged. We are seeing it all across the country. You've heard us highlight the stat that I think it was the most searched item, even more than Taylor Swift and the NFL. And that's for a reason. And it represents this stark contrast and items that we've gone through today in this call that the president has talked about, that the American people have really rejected, and the extreme elements that we are seeing coming from that side. So I think you're going to hear the president continue to make his affirmative agenda clear and vision for this country, and not just in abstract terms, but very specifically on how it continues to help the American people versus this very negative point of view and an extreme agenda that the American people have already said that they don't want. And so we'll continue to do that. And the president has a lot of opportunities over the next couple of days to do so.
Great. We have time for one more. Yamiche, I'll send her from NBC, and then we'll wrap it up.
Great. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have two quick questions. The first is, could you talk a little bit about whether or not Vice President Harris and Senator Vance have connected at all? And secondly, when you talk about sort of how she's going to take him on, I wonder if that's at all being recalibrated or thought of in terms of how the messaging is going to be given the assassination attempt. I know that obviously it was on former President Trump and not him, but I wonder if there's any recalibration of messaging there.
So I don't have any calls to read out right now, and if that changes throughout the day, we will definitely keep you posted. But look, I think what's important, to kind of echo the president from last night, it's important that we draw contrasts and talk about the different visions that President Biden and Vice President Harris have in this election, compared to Donald Trump and to JD Vance. But some fundamental facts still remain in this election. Trump's Project 2025 agenda is dangerous, and it is harmful to Americans. Talking about suspending the Constitution and getting rid of checks and balances and replacing civil servants with political allies, that's a real danger. And so I think you'll continue to hear us talk about that. And I also think it's important to acknowledge and to talk about that political violence is real. And just as the attack on Donald Trump over the weekend is unacceptable and has absolutely no place in this country. It continues to be a concern for voters. And so you will hear us talk about the threat that it poses to our democracy in this campaign. And I think President Biden and Vice President Harris have never shied away from laying bare the stakes of this election. And that, in our view, that is not at odds with the effort that both are leading to sort of restore civility to our politics and to unite this country. And so that's what you can expect to hear from us going forward. And if anybody else has anything to add, we can do that, and then we can wrap up. But if not, thank you all so much for joining. We really appreciate all of our speakers for being here. Just a reminder, this was all on the record, embargoed until just about now. We're about to hang up, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks, folks.